Hello and welcome to the Inside Therapy podcast with me, Helen Gregory, and my colleague, Andrea Killeen. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Helen. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very excited. Are you?
Yeah, lovely. I've been looking forward to this.
Definitely. I want us to both introduce ourselves. So do you want to fire away first?
Hi, yeah. I'm Andrea Killeen. I'm a trained psychotherapist and I was a nurse for 20 years. And my mission is really about transforming therapy and recognising our emotions or signals which give us deeper insights into ourselves and enabling us to navigate a more fulfilling life.
Sounds amazing. Well, my background is as a life coach. I'm a trained life coach with a mission to rise up against adversity caused by life's inequality so that we can step into a more positive and empowered existence.
Fabulous.
So the idea of this podcast, we've been mulling this over for a little while, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
So we've decided what we want to do is put out into the wider world our combined skills, your psychotherapy skills and your therapy skills and my coaching skills. And between us, we hope that we can offer people the tools that they need, really, to empower themselves and improve their lives.
Absolutely, yeah.
So each week we're going to be looking at a weekly topic. So this week we're going to be talking about surviving, I don't know if I dare use the C word actually, COVID.
Well, you want to say surviving lockdown, you know, maybe just going that way.
Surviving and thriving in a post-COVID world, that's what we said. Should we just say surviving and thriving in lockdown?
Yeah.
So that's our topic today.
Yeah, because COVID gives a bit of a...
negative. Yeah, people are a bit fed up, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's, you know... Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay, so we won't talk about the C word, we'll just say lockdown.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, so then after that, we'll talk about what we've learned, really. So reflecting on it, each of us, our own experiences of lockdown and, you know, what's come out of that for us. And then you're going to do a weekly slot, aren't you, on the Monday mindset. So you're going to give us some tools for the week.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about what we're doing next week. And that should be it. About 40, 45 minutes, we're thinking, aren't we?
Yeah, fabulous.
So, exciting. Shall we start?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So, the weekly topic, surviving and thriving in lockdown or post-lockdown.
Lockdown. Yeah.
So, where do you want to start with that one?
Well, really, I just wanted to open it up for a bit of a discussion. You know, what did you find, really, that was, you know, bad about COVID? And what did you find, you know, that was good that came out of the lockdown experience for you?
Crikey. Bad. Well, I suppose it's similar to everybody, really. We all got fed up, didn't we, of being almost penned in.
Yes.
And it was for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I was furloughed at the beginning of March. And at that time, actually, I decided I was going to do some scrubs. I was going to make some scrubs. So that was quite an interesting project to be a part of.
So you said you were making scrubs for the hospital and stuff. Oh, that's amazing. So how did that sort of come about?
Well, it was Facebook, I think. I saw something on Facebook and we're both proud Stokeys, aren't we? We're both from Stoke-on-Trent.
We are, yeah.
So I saw something on Facebook about making scrubs for North Staffs and City General Hospital. They're not even called that.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Which one? North Staffs?
North Staffs and Leighton, actually.
So there was something on Facebook about that. So I wasn't brave enough to do scrubs first. So I did like theatre caps and headbands and stuff to start off with. And then I kind of recruited a little army of people in Nantwich. So there were 10 of us in the end. And that was my little hub. I was the CW5 hub. And God, between us, I think we made well over 100 sets of scrubs in the end.
Wow, isn't that
fantastic? In my caravan.
No way.
In my caravan.
Oh, listen to you.
Sewing machine in my caravan.
Was that because you had the bill going
extension
on, didn't you?
Extension. So make extension. That was something good to come out of lockdown, really, was the extension.
That's right. So when did you plan for that then?
Well, we planned to start in February and we started in February and we thought as soon as lockdown happened, oh no, we're gonna not be able to do the extension anymore, but actually they kept going all the way through, so it's almost done and dusted. It's quite crazy, really.
Wow, that is incredible.
But in between, yeah, we've had some ups and downs. So my partner walked out on me in July, which was quite an interesting outcome of lockdown.
Wow.
So that's probably good and bad, really. We can come on to that later. Mm. But yeah, that was it was bad at the time. But then obviously it's good now because Beyond the Cheat exists.
That's right. Didn't you write a course out of that?
I have. Yeah. It's not quite finished yet. I'm just in the finishing stages of putting it together. But yeah, two courses actually: a short form course, then a longer, sort of more personalised course. Yes, so yeah, almost done.
So it just shows you, you know, that a lot of the time, you know, and this is what I sort of want to talk about in therapy, because a lot of people, you know, talk about the bad stuff.
Yes.
I say, tell me what's happened that's good. Let's just go there. You know, we can get so much, but we can also then see, once we, you know, we're looking at the good stuff, we can then see that actually some things need to, what we consider being bad, are actually an opening of us, you know, to something new, to consider something that we probably haven't done before.
Yeah.
But the universe, in a way, giving us a push, I believe.
Definitely.
Myself, you know.
Yeah, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, that's a cliche, really,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
But a lot of people say that, but do they actually believe it?
Well, I think they say it tongue-in-cheek quite often, don't they, when something's happened.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I absolutely believe that. And I think there's a lot of synergy that goes on and a lot of coincidences or apparent coincidences that aren't really. It's something, you know, the universe is trying to tell us something quite often.
Amen. And I think you're a great, you know, advocate for that, because you're so cheerful. And you do, you know,
perhaps it's just hysteria.
No, you do, as a person, you are very resourceful.
Mm.
And that's one thing I've noticed about you, Helen. You're extremely resourceful. Mm. And, you know, even though we've only shared the journey for a short time, I can see that those are really great qualities in you. And that's what we need to be teaching people. Resourcefulness.
Yeah.
How did you, you know, how did you become resourceful in this lockdown? It forced us to think differently. It forced us to address maybe things that we, you know, didn't need to, or thinking things that we did need, we actually don't need, like travelling so far for a job and so often, you know, do we really need to do that? We can get online now. It's pushed so many of us, myself included, are doing therapy online. I couldn't believe that it would be so easy and so really, really beneficial, you know. So that's a massive thing that's come out of COVID for me.
So before COVID then, you weren't doing anything online? It was all face-to-face?
No, nothing.
Crikey. So how has that changed? How many people are you now seeing online as opposed to being...
The beauty of it is I'd actually taken a place in Manchester. I don't know whether you know the Royal Exchange Theatre.
I do.
Right in town. Well, a lovely little place came up called The Space.
Right.
And a chap called me about, would I like to use this space? All the therapists are using it. It's very central to Manchester. The price was right. And I thought, wow, that's an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
So I signed all the documents back in, I think it was actually, must have been February, the end of February. And it was due to start in March.
No!
And nothing ever happened.
So
I never went to look around the building. I took it on. I had all my, because you have a log, you know, where you log in.
And
you can book your clients in there. So I had all of it ready to go. And nothing ever materialised.
Wow.
So I never went in that space.
My goodness.
And I was never meant to.
And there's been no comeback in terms of, you know, because you signed an agreement or anything like that?
No, because he was very, you know, understanding, actually, because he was a therapist himself, so I'm glad he was congruent in that way, that he understood, you know what, this wasn't going to happen, but people's plans changed and so on. But it also made me think, I was going to sort of move out regionally. I was just going to go to Manchester on a Wednesday, because both my kids are at uni up there, so I thought, that'd be a nice way to combine it. But that never materialised, but it did get me thinking about seeing people further afield.
Right, so that was almost the spark for you then.
Yeah. So I started to, then obviously when COVID hit and everyone was like, God, can you do it online? I was, you know, I was scared because I was like, oh gosh, I've never done anything like that. But, and obviously it's when the need's there, you know, you're thinking I could support a lot of people if I'm online. So that became the kind of motivator in a way.
So did you then have to change your marketing? Did you have to kind of go out and say, this is what I'm doing now, I'm doing stuff online, come and see me in a different way?
Well, I do actually advertise on that, the counselling website, counselling.com.
Mm.
So all I did was I just changed my advert saying, I am now available to do online.
Okay.
Immediately, anything, you know, people are suffering in this pandemic, please get in touch. because we can do online appointments. So then I noticed people coming from further afield, which was amazing. So the people I was going to see in Manchester, me going on the train and everything, all that effort for a few hours maybe.
And cost.
Yeah, and cost. And the room and everything, and that contract was completely changed around. So I was able to receive the same thing I wanted to do, but in a very different way.
That is crazy, isn't it? So the people that you are seeing, don't tell me they're from Manchester.
There is, yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's quite a lot that came to me in the pandemic.
Really?
They're from Manchester, so I never actually changed my advert of being in the, you know, so I've got like the Cheshire postcode, but I also got the Manchester one, which is why I wanted to cover that area, you know. Yeah. So you can put a numerate number amount of a lot of different places if you work in different
just
places.
That. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But actually online makes us available to work with people all over the country, all over the world.
Of course it does. So, absolutely.
You know, this is where we're going, Helen.
Yeah,
this is where we're headed.
Yeah.
You know, to bring therapy to the masses, you know, and realise that actually, you know, it's accessible.
Yeah.
And it's what we should be doing. I mean, you wouldn't buy a car, would you? And not take it for an MOT.
So what you say, you're applying the same to a human being.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant.
Like, would you ever dream about it?
No, you wouldn't. So, well, you would certainly have it vetted, wouldn't you? And looked over and make
and
sure that everything's
okay. And you have to do that part of keeping the car
absolutely.
And so on. And in the health, you know, the health of the car, or so to speak. And, you know, we don't do that or think about that, about our brain.
No.
It's the most important organ, our mind and everything. Control centre of everything. We don't even give it any attention or maintenance.
No, and I think we're quite reactive in it, aren't we? So we do something about it when there's a problem.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, we might be we're a bit like swans, aren't we? I love this analogy where you're nice and serene on the surface, but underneath you're paddling like crazy.
Exactly.
And then actually that paddling is taking every drop of energy out of you, but you just want to present this front to the world, don't you? And you have this, you know, persona that, oh, especially with Facebook and Instagram and all of that, you look amazing, don't you? That's how you look to people, and yet underneath you're struggling. And it's only when that comes to a head, I think, that a lot of people go, oh my God, I need to see somebody, I need to talk to somebody.
And I have to confront it.
Yeah.
So again, we're trying to, you know, to teach people, or offer at least to people, that you don't have to wait until there's a crisis. Why not look after your mental health? Because we can obviously see that how it's, you know, exploded the need so much, especially in younger people and the pressures they're under and all of the way the world was going.
Yeah.
It was creating mental health issues.
Yeah.
And very severe ones, you know, the drinking in young people, the you know, promiscuous behaviour, the boundaries weren't there, you know, these kind of things that have just exploded, really. So I think it's just coming back to the individual and saying, you know what, you're in charge here. You can change these old programmes that are holding you back or not getting you what you want in life. And we can all come out of those and be much more, you know, happy, contented, empowered to follow the dreams we really want. Not go and do a crappy job for 20 years and then wake up and think, I'm ill, I'm hating it, I hate it, you know, and pushes you out of it into a miserable...
And how many people do a job they hate for all their life and then they retire in the last 5 minutes because they haven't, I presume, you're probably going to tell me something different now, but from my perspective, it seems to me that, you know, they put all that energy into their work because they're working, living to work, not working to live.
Yes.
And then as they sort of discharge all of that energy, if you like, in retirement, their bodies can't cope and they just, there's nothing to live for in a sense, bodily.
Yeah.
And that's it, they just seem to go.
Well, I think I definitely agree with you on that, on a spiritual level, or, you know, I believe everyone's got a divine life purpose to serve here. Why would we be unique? Why would we be individual? We're all completely individual, but having a collective experience as a human being, all at very different stages, as I find out, which is why I find therapy is so enriching my life. It's a reflection to me, to things that I need to work on. You know, when a client shows up, there's often a remnant of myself there, or a reflection.
Oh, so, definitely. I find that in coaching as well, because you see somebody and what they or taught somebody. I was talking to somebody last night and it totally resonated with me what they were saying. I could see myself in that position you know, maybe 6 months ago, 12 months ago, that was me.
Exactly.
And I was able to bring that experience to her situation and say to her, you know, this is why you're feeling like this. This is why this is happening.
Absolutely.
Let's look at this and this to actually change that. And I think I might be wrong here, but to me, with counselling, quite often you don't expect a counsellor to actually give you any advice. You know, there's that kind of image of a counsellor that just sits there and listens and nods and, you know, kind of basically tells you to go your own way and, you know, do your own thing.
Yeah.
But I think you're quite different than that. You're more of a coach in my head.
Yes. I think there's definitely, it's a different dynamic, really, because I think, you know, the idea, if you think about where do we start really with society, you know, when we were more of governed by the churches and so on, and faith, you know, we had leaders of those faiths, you know, the priests and the clergy that used to be actually like a counsellor.
Mm.
They would be the ones that your parents would go to for advice, marriage advice.
Yeah.
Would be there for the families, you know, they'd know all the families because you come to church and you get to know them on a personal level. So I think now that structure's broken down for whatever reason. and then the rise of the selfie, the self-centred, you know, it's like we were taking photographs of everyone else, then we started taking them of ourselves.
Oh my God, that's quite a revelation. I've never thought of that.
Blick went back to, you know, obsessing now. Narcissism came up as a massive word. Everybody's a narcissist, you know, which in a way, if you're doing your selfies 300 times a day, pretty much you are. You know, but said in a, you know, in a jokey tone.
I'd never thought about that, because I was discussing with somebody a couple of weeks ago about the fact that there aren't many pictures of me because I'm always behind the lens. I'm never in front of it. I don't actually like my picture being taken much to be truthful. And maybe it's our generation, but I rarely do a selfie. I feel so uncomfortable doing a selfie.
Yeah, that is the thing, because I'm not comfortable either.
Is it our age?
I think it might be.
Or is it that we actually just prefer to take, we're less egocentric maybe?
Yeah. Again, if you think about, again, the modelling and the, you know, the programming that we're talking about, that I think we were discussing this on another day, was, you know, that we were geared as women as well to be the caretaker, to be, you know, giving out that nurturing to others, and yet not to ourselves. But it's interesting that I think the shift was supposed to be move that a little bit towards self, but not selfie. Yeah.
That is so true. That's a big distinction, isn't it? So it's about, looking self-care, after yourself, but not being
talking self-ish. Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're heading. You know, we want to empower people to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And that's been really highlighted with the lockdown.
Yeah.
How self-sufficient people really are. And we're talking really emotionally, mentally, you know, energetically.
Yeah, we're not talking about growing veg, are we?
Not really. but it is a part of it, you know, that people, that was a response.
Yeah, well,
it was. Feeling not, you know, a bit insecure, you might say.
Yeah. From making bread and cakes, and everybody was
sourdough
baking,
was the biggest thing, and the bake-off went up like crazy.
Yeah,
people regain those skills and hone them back in, the things that they haven't done for years. Maybe I'd had time to make a meal because they get in so late.
Yeah.
So they had time. And time, as we know, is precious. Mm-hmm. You know, you only get one life and you only get one chance to do all these amazing things.
Yeah,
that know deep down are there,
just
waiting to be sprouted as a seed, you know?
Yeah.
To, you know, be nurtured
absolutely,
by yourself
yeah.
and bring it to fruition to the real you. And a lot of people don't even know who they are, let's face it.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, that obsession with self actually then makes you so insular because you're not, you're not even looking at yourself really, are you?
Yeah.
You're looking at this image of yourself,
right.
And you're certainly not looking at anybody else and taking anybody else's needs into consideration.
That's right. And I think that's where, you know, they've all marched on in the last 20 years. I know that, and yourself, you know, bringing up two children in that decade was much about parents making their kids be an extension of themselves, and you'd be these little demigods,
yes,
which were, you know, we can all say there's a part of us that have suffered for that. I believe
very
a
much.
Lot of younger people come into therapy to me, more so with the parents of young adolescents.
Really?
Who are, wondering what's gone wrong here. Because that child is so self-centred, but it's more of an egocentric rather than a centred, you know, internal, spiritual, whatever you want to say, like I'm talking mind, body, spirit, all being interconnected.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when those are disconnected, there becomes, you know, some disease there.
Yes, disease, absolutely, And I think, because I think those children, young adults, are very much focused on their bodies.
The external, the internal job. And that's what I think the shift has been all about. For me, certainly, because I was kind of living that life anyway, so COVID didn't really make that much of a big deal for me.
In what sense?
I kind of come back to that quietness and that sort of, you know, introspective, I guess.
Right.
Where, you know, where I was. And thinking, you know, how do I care for my own, you know, mental health and needs and so on and so forth. Because, but also, what's my, you know, my journey here about? And my divine mission, because you know I'm quite spiritual and in those ways.
Yes.
And so, you know, if I was, forgive me if I do keep mentioning that, but to me, you know, I'd be as, it's like when a scientist gives me his point of view, I'm always like, well, you know, but if I give you the spiritual one, because there's no kind of grounding for that, it somehow gets dismissed.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, you had a very interesting conversation with my kids the other night, didn't you?
I did, yes, I did, yeah.
Where they threw a load of scientific facts at you. And
but very interesting too, you know, and then again, you know, yeah, true, what they're saying. But as I said, when I was a nurse in medicine, I believed in medicine. Yeah. I believed in it until I found out something more.
What do you think it was that triggered that? Can you remember?
Well, I think I've always been, you know, coming from a big Catholic family, I've always been very spiritual, in a very deep spiritual aspect. And, you know, and how does your life, impact other people's lives? You know, that's kind of the philosophy, isn't it, with the Christianity, I guess.
Right,
And, you know, and that idea that Christ came down to show us how to be human, and that, you know, love and that unconditional love and that sort of, you know, doesn't matter where you come from, even if you come from a stable and you're a king. So that made, you know, in a way it was like, well, if you're like, a lot of people say, you know, if you're a king, are you, kept asking him, didn't they, are you the king, and he didn't ever say anything, because it was about, wasn't about that, you know. It was showing that humility of, you know, being, I don't have to come in the same way as we are today, you know. Right. So that we don't look at our queen, and that it's like, in some ways, it's like, it's more about your personal journey, you know. I mean, yeah, the governing and all of that will still take place, and there'll be a hierarchy in it, but do we really need that anymore?
Wow, that's a very good question, isn't it?
You know, and I think it's really shifted us, really. That's what I kind of think I'm saying, is shifted us into this more introspective, you know, what is my purpose here?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And how do these people, what do they mean to me? The ones I have not seen, the ones I am seeing, and how does that impact my life?
And just as an extension of that, you say you were brought up as a Catholic. Are you still, would you class yourself as religious, or would you say you're more spiritual nowadays?
Well, yeah, I don't go to mass in that sense as I used to, because for me, I was like, I spent so many years in Catholicism and Christianity that whilst I do, adhere to Jesus Christ, as I've just said, you know, I do believe that being like Jesus in a way of virtues, I guess I'm talking those things, I do believe in. But as a structure, no, I don't really think. I think that's a little outdated in a sense of, like, because you notice a lot of older people still go through those motions and go to church and belong to it, but it seems like the younger are not needing or requiring that as much. So I'm wondering where, and people do tend to say, don't they, I'm spiritual.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not religious anymore.
Well, I would say that.
So I would, I would agree with that, actually.
I don't, when I was brought up an Anglican, my parents were churchgoers, my mum and my stepdad, my dad died a few years ago, but my mum and my stepdad are still quite keen active, on going to active, that's the word, they're active in their religion, and that's absolutely fine. And I think it's interesting that all three of us, we were brought up in that environment. We sang at the church choir because my dad played the organ, but none of us are remotely religious now. So why is that? Why have we all three turned our backs on it? I think certainly my middle brother is an atheist. My younger brother, I'm not really sure, he's probably a bit more like me, a bit more spiritual. But it's interesting, isn't it, that we've almost gone away from that structure. Maybe it's because we had such structured childhoods and lives. I don't know. I just feel, I don't feel the need to have that preaching and that kind of the confines of the religion. I find spirituality far more accessible. I don't need to believe in a God. I can believe that the universe is the replacement God, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, and I agree with that, because I also thought, well, you know, people keep saying, oh, you know, is this religion's the best, or that one, or this one, and it's like, no, I don't think it needs to be a competition. And certainly if you bring in wars into it, anything like
that,
then it's completely contradictory to what it actually means. It's because it's about humanity. It's about love and helping each other and, you know, being that type of, you know, virtues, as I say. It's more about that. So for me as well, I want to give, you know, credit to other religions that, you know, I've been into yoga and, you know, Hinduism, and looked a bit at that, and looked at Buddhism, and, you know, so there's lots of different principles. I see now they all come to the same Godhead. Because it's the principles and the virtues that you're practicing, not the religion.
Oh God, can't believe you just said that. This is what I've said for years about religion, because it distresses me that people in certain religions, I'm probably pretty sure it's all of them, but they are so discriminatory with people. And I can always remember being told that a local church around here in Nantwich, not in Nantwich, but one of the surrounding villages, somebody with learning difficulties used to come in to the service, but he'd never come in at the right time, he'd come in late. This one particular day, very noisily came into the back of the church when the sermon was going on, and somebody got up and sort of took him out of the church, as if to say, you know, well, you're late, you're not welcome here. That's, to me, that is not what it's all about.
No, I think that's
where's
what,
the humanity?
Yeah, I think that's what people did move away from, because started to have contradictory, you know,
messages.
So I think, and then as I think, as we grew in our own selves, which we would do, you know, expanding our consciousness as we have done in the last 20 years, and I think that's where I feel that therapy's kind of provided that gap, really, and that why it's kind of, you know, now becoming more in the field as that fades away for the, you know, the younger generation, at least, anyway. Because again, it's the older ones who don't usually go to therapy, do they? They've
absolutely
not been thinking of it.
No, no.
And they're happy with their programming, and they seem to be, you know, and happy going to their churches and getting that nurturing from their priests. They wouldn't think of it because it wasn't really in their remit as they grew up.
No, that's right. And I think if you look at coaching and therapy side by side, again, there's a divide with that, because what I find is it, the people who come to coaching are quite often business type people. So they are used to having, in inverted commas, training or development. So they're familiar with that process of developing their own skill set. Perhaps not so familiar in terms of developing their self, but nonetheless, they are, you know, they're familiar with that. There is some
that
option
dynamic,
for development. So I think, there's a message for both of us, isn't there, as a coach and a therapist, to almost say to people that there is far more to both coaching and therapy than at first meets the eye. So from my point of view, for coaching, there's such a lot that you can do in terms of developing yourself. Other than just being on a training course, it's about looking inside yourself. And therapy, I'm thinking, is a similar sort of process, if you like.
Yeah, it is. I think, like when we go back to when you said earlier about what most people know of, that I would say the difference. I remember this on the first day of our course. Counselling. What's the difference, counselling or psychotherapy? So counselling is more of a passive type of experience, I would say. So like you say, you're holding up a mirror,
you're doing the basic core conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Rogers in the 1950s decided to coin as a way of being. So it was about being authentic in yourself when you were with another person. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, you know, imagine looking back at the old 50s stuff, your mum's and dad, you know, very wooden.
Yeah.
You might say.
With a clipped English accent.
Yes, with a clipped bit. And, you know, very much going on beneath the surface. Mm-hmm. So I think that was why it started, because, yeah, people were in this robotic kind of, you know, and so
it was everything. Yeah.
And then when you look at the dress sense, just everything is
demure.
Yeah. And so, you know, manufactured, I would think, in a way. So everybody looked the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It would seem like, you know, families ran the same, society kind of ran along the same lines. Mm-hmm. And where was the individuality in this?
Yeah.
So I think this is how what was bought. Obviously, he was American, so it came out.
I like how you said that. What you can't see on a podcast is Andrea's face. Then, obviously, he was American.
You know, because I just think they were, you know, being a country that started from people just joining together from all different nations, if you like, and quite, you know, think about how long it's been going. It's only. Was it 300-400 years old?
Well, exactly.
And it's like, but how it's developed in lots of ways, developed and underdeveloped in others. Mm-hmm. But in the therapy idea, they definitely were the front runners of that. Because obviously we know that English people are, you know, rather talk about the weather than actually talk about how they're feeling. You know, right? So, and that's, you know, actually talking about the weather can be quite revealing when I'm listening to people. You know, it's like those, you know, that really stormy. And it's, you know, so it's quite a good analogy when you start to really listen on a different, you know, vibration, really. Yeah,
with a different mindset almost.
Yeah, mindset. That's what's going on underneath this, you know, what's the... And that's really how the play works as well. You know, it's like the subtext.
Okay.
We know that in scene one, you know, he's committed adultery, but nobody in the audience, you know, the other actors aren't supposed to know that, are they, until scene four. So... It's kind of like, you know, that's how we develop. And that's why sometimes we have to go to the theatre to actually see how our own lives are working. Yeah. That's a, you know, anyway, you know me. Theatre or therapy is my two main subjects.
I think you maybe want to say at this point that that's your dream, isn't it, to write a play?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And we're going to do it, aren't we?
We are going to do it this year. It's going to be this year. And guess what it's called, guys? I do not want to talk about it. It's a play about therapy or how our early lives... impression made the biggest impression on our later lives.
Brilliant.
So that's
By
the way,
I do not want to talk about it. Playing at the New Vic later this year,
yeah,
2021-22.
Yeah, Teresa Heskins, please hear that.
Oh, Angie Killeen, theatre director.
Oh, bless you, Helen.
So, wow, okay. So what, so just before we move on to the mindset, the Monday mindset, let's just recap really quickly. What do you think are the main tools that we can take forward, having, you know, from our experiences, if you like?
I think key, what always comes up for me, especially in this COVID experience or the lockdown, was the resilience.
Yeah.
Those taught us resilience.
Yeah.
And
patience.
Patience, Helen. Yes.
Yeah. Don't you raise your eyebrows at me.
You're always mentioning this to me. And I guess, you know, so from my perspective, being one of 14, I'm very patient in lots of ways.
Aren't you?
You know, that's what it taught me.
Yeah, yeah. And whilst I'm the most impatient person in the world.
But you know what? It's like, in some ways, maybe, but in some ways, maybe not. Yeah. Not in other ways, are you?
I'm having to be patient at the moment.
But like I said, we could go on, Helen. I could get like I do. I would say, well, why, Helen?
No.
And we just keep asking this question because actually this is the thing as well. It's like, do we ever think to ask ourselves the questions?
No, I don't think we do. And actually, that is such a valid point because we can work through things ourselves if we can ask the right questions. But it's knowing what the right questions are.
That is true. That's very true. And I think about that in life. It's true. We're often asking the wrong questions.
Yeah.
So we never get the answers we want.
That is so true. Which I was doing for years.
Yeah.
I was, you know, just going back to the breakup. I'll put it very nicely. The breakup. When my ex decided he preferred her in Hull to me down here.
Wow. Really?
Is it a loss?
Or was it about, or was it really about, you know, like I said to you on another occasion, you know, how were you cheating yourself?
Well, that's exactly the point. And you have encouraged me to delve deep inside of me to ask those questions. And it's those questions that make all the difference, isn't it? And this is exactly what I was saying to this lady last night.
Yeah.
You know, it is about those questions that you ask yourself, and you hold yourself accountable as well. And because there's no point asking the questions if you ain't going to do anything with it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's right. It was the resilience, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the action.
Yes.
You need to take action on those things.
Absolutely.
Because how many people?
Yeah.
Oh God, here's my word now, Helen, you'll know. Procrastination.
Hey. You'd never procrastinate, would you, Andrew?
Oh gosh. You know, I mean, again, it's been real.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I'm a real person. In the therapy room, I'm a real person. And that's what I hope I share with people.
Yeah,
you know, I definitely want to come away from that idea that, you know, these people are experts. How can you be an expert when you don't even met this person?
Yeah
you can have an idea about relationships, and you can have an idea about families and how they work and how they disappoint and how they, you know, help you to become somebody that you're not, or, you know, vice
whatever
versa.
It might be.
But, you know, there's general things in humanity and our experience as human beings that we can relate. But they're also very, very personable to that person.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to remember. So I can share my humanness, you know, in the room and say, I've had a similar struggle, for instance.
Mm.
And that can bring a lot of empathy and a lot of compassion to the situation.
Definitely.
I think those are key.
Yeah, I totally agree. Key, you know. And I think, just to wrap this little bit
up, I
think that you and I are similar in that sense.
Yes.
Because as a therapist, you know, this is what I said right at the top of this. In general, you think that a therapist shouldn't be giving their opinion, but you do in an empathic way, don't you? So you identify with that person. You say, I understand, I resonate with you, I've been there, I've walked this path, and this is how I dealt with it.
Evidence about that.
Definitely.
I think they really do. I think,
definitely.
You know, what is it you want most? You want to know that something, like I'll say, you know, the way I look at it is people phone me up and go, I've got this issue, and I'm sort of like thinking, scanning, thinking, right, where are you? You're in Scotland. Where do you want to get to? London. Okay, right. So I'm already thinking of how they might want to do that. But that's, you know, there's many routes.
Yes, yeah.
But it has to be their route
that
they
exactly.
choose, even though I might be offering quite a lot of different things.
Of course, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My experience might be part of that they don't want to accept, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is, of course, that's my experience.
So they might do a bit down the motorway, they might go over the hills for a bit, they might park up a delay.
That's right, you can go the scenic route.
Yeah.
It takes a lot longer, but it might be your choice. Mm. And you might want to mull over things a lot longer. Some people can do it quick, some people may not. You know, and that's also got to be honoured. I honour that. You know, if you want to, and like people say, can I come back? And it's like, of course you can come. You know, it's your choice. If you want to see me once a week, if you want to see me once a year, after you've done, you know, your initial whatever you came to work out, often it goes like that. You know, and it's so, I love it, because it's like I keep touching
you see people's progress,
seeing them growing, seeing them achieve their dreams, empowering, seeing them empower themselves and others. It's incredible. It's just incredible.
Crazy.
It's a valuable experience.
Definitely. So I think what we might do is we'll put a couple of questions, shall we, on our websites, just to sort of prompt people. So we'll put in the show notes both of our websites, and then people, if they want to kind of find out a little bit more about this and you know, the things that they should be asking themselves at the beginning of 2021, and how they can kind of improve their lot
absolutely
for the year.
And if they want to, you know, come and do some work with us one-on-one, you know, if it's coaching you want, you know, you might want to see Helen. And if there was any therapy that you, or anybody that you felt might, you know, get some benefit from that, you
definitely
can always contact us.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
about this. But yeah, we're trying to open up this for discussion, and allowing people to know that, you know, it is there for you.
Yes.
And it's so important to, you know, look after yourself, nurture yourself,
that's
grow
it.
Yourself.
Definitely. So we'll put that on the show notes, and we encourage feedback. So if anybody's got anything they want to share with us, we'd love to hear it. Right, we have got 5 minutes now to do Monday Mindset.
Brilliant.
So this is our regular spot where you're going to share with our lovely audience the key elements that we should use to get into the zone at the beginning of the week?
Well, yeah, I'd just like to quite quickly, you know, just touch on these. And if anybody does want to, you know, go down anything a bit deeper with this, then obviously, like I say, you can contact me or, you know, let's have a discussion. What I like to do is like to start with a meditation, which is for me the most powerful thing, because it's switching off monkey mind, getting into just your really space with your higher self. You know, you're cutting off all those niggles and all the daily stuff and just starting. Yeah, just starting point, a new starting point. Because every day, remember, is a new day. And every day we are starting again.
We've
got a chance to be brand new.
Yes.
So that's a great place, you know what I mean? And the meditation, I think, is, you know, it may have been prayers for people back in the day.
Of course, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's gratitude again, is what's that? It's a prayer, you know, thank you.
It is, isn't it? You know what, yeah.
So it's just a modern way, which actually, when you think of meditation in the ancients, you know, practices, it was that not a prayerful thing, like the Buddhist thing? Is that their way of praying in a way?
Yeah,
and I've just kind of come to this, being in Buddhist retreats and silent retreats and so on and so forth, and I see the correlation between how the Catholic, say, or the Christians do it. They do retreats, don't they? And they do quiet time, and, you know, so it's very similarities, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so starting off with your meditation, however that is for you, if you want, we are going to be doing one of those later on.
In the
weeks
offering
ahead.
It as a bit of a freebie, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah. Just tasters we're going to be doing, so there'll be that coming in a few weeks. Movement and nature and flow, I think, is a really good one as well. Like, I'll go out in, before I do any work, I'll go out with the dog, have a walk around, mull over my own thoughts, feelings. I even might, you know, people I might be seeing that day, little things are coming into my mind because I've let my mind empty now, ready for those things to come in. So bringing my attention to what's important, and also getting into nature. I'm also feeling the health benefits of that, obviously, and especially in COVID, that was a thing that was most available to us, I think.
Yeah, that was the only thing that was available, wasn't it?
I've never seen so many dog walkers in that twitch as we found out the other day.
God, they were out in force yesterday.
Yes.
Dear me. It's like a party in the park.
So this can only be taking us back to the basic things that are, you know, for free.
Yeah.
You know, we can go in nature, it's healthy, it's, you know, it's a meditation.
Same as running
became a massive thing. So that a lot of people went on that, didn't they?
And definitely walking on your own. I love that. When I take the dog out on my own. I mean, I love going I love going on my own. Sometimes I have to go with you.
I'll note that down. No, but we do, let's be honest, we all need that space. We should have that space.
But it is meditative for me. When I take the dog, I can think about anything I want. I can just, like, put things right in my head.
Yeah.
You know, she just runs off and does her thing and swims in the river in the freezing cold. And
this is it. And this is why the movement and the flow and nature shows us it's quite simple. Stop making it complicated.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Yeah. So that's cool. That's cool. Simplicity as well, on the tagging on the end of that. And that, for other people, it might be music. You know, you get up and you just play a certain thing every day. Maybe like the radio. Some people have that through the radio, don't they?
Yeah.
And they've got a religious thing with that.
Oh, I have music from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. Quite often don't even put the telly on.
Right.
I love music.
Right. So again, you know, it has vibration, so it's also lifting us into different spaces where we can access our higher self and a more well-being, or, you know, a part of us that's that well-being.
Yeah.
So there it goes again. So, music, fabulous. Mindfulness, we keep hearing this all the time. All we're going to say about that is being in the moment.
Yeah.
So many of us are living in the past, or we're living too far in the future. We're missing the creative space is here in the mindfulness, in the moment.
And as an impatient person, I do need that reminder quite often.
That's right. And that's why, if you actually think about it, if you stay in the moment where you're creating, instead of having the old mindset from the past, instead of looking too far forward that creates fear, and the anxiety when you look back on the past because you can't change anything, if you're still focused on that, it's a pointless exercise if you think of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So actually, if you're in the moment, you're creating your future anyway.
Oh, I love that.
So you won't worry, will you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that's why we've been, you know, ramming that down people's throats for the last few years, I think.
Yeah.
Mindfulness.
Yeah.
Like when we're eating, you know, mindfully eating.
Yeah.
So you won't overeat then, because you're actually overeating because you're ruminating about the past.
Yes.
All the things that didn't go well. Yeah, and that's absolutely why you're disconnected, but you keep eating more and more because you can't actually fix any of that. Yeah. Rather than going, do you know what? I don't need to worry about that. It's gone.
Yeah, totally understand
and
that.
And as we start to deal with that, we'll come across it. Sorry. So the six were meditation, movement, music, mindfulness, which again, we'll go into all these topics a bit more as we go along. Motivation then comes.
Oh, okay.
Right? From the mindfulness, you're motivated because you're not worrying and just thinking, I've got to clear all this stuff before I can get to the new stuff. So that motivates in itself. And then momentum, keeping the momentum going.
So keeping doing this.
Yeah, keep on this practice. Keep on this meditation practice. They're getting up in the morning about meditation. Yeah. It has to be in the momentum. Because if you, like everything, we've all got classes we've been on, courses we've been on, books that we're going to read, self-help stuff we want to do, but we never actually get to it. So we need to stop that and start doing it.
Yeah,
and start to practice. It's only small things.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's fabulous.
The six M's.
Please. So the six M's. Okay. So again, we can put that on the website, can't we?
On our respective
websites.
Yes, absolutely.
Superb job. So next week's topic, we're going to discuss the unexpected bonuses to come out of 2020.
Yeah.
So we'll have a little chat about that. So if anybody actually wants to share something that they've had that's happened to them as an unexpected bonus, so let's look on the positive.
Absolutely.
We won't talk about the negative, we'll talk about the positive.
That's right.
So yeah, what has happened for you? What's come out for you in 2020? So thank you very much for listening, everybody. Angie, that was really good fun.
Wasn't it just?
Did you enjoy that?
Wait to do again.
Hey. So we shall be back same time next Monday. But in the meantime, do check out our websites and our social media pages. And do please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you need any further support, like we say, you know, we're here. And, you know, this is what we really want to reach. All those people who don't feel that, you know what, there's help out there. There is
Absolutely.
Help out there.
Yeah.
And you can transform your life to the one that you really want.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. Yeah.
So on that great note, we'll say thank you so much, Helen. It's been an absolute joy to speak to you.
You too. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.